Okay, let me set you up. Richard Godwin is a crime and horror writer, as well as a produced playwright. He is born in London and obtained a BA and an MA in English and American Literature from King's College. He's traveled the world extensively and lectured and worked in property. Many of his stories have appeared in magazines. His works in print include Chemical, published in the anthology Back in 5 Minutes, released by Little Episodes Publishing, 2010, and Doll, published in Howl, Tales of the Feral and Infernal, and Lame Goat Press, 2010, and Face Off, published in the Crime Factory, issue number 5, Create Space, 2010. His Chin Wags at the Slaughterhouse are interviews he has conducted with other crime and horror writers and can be found at the blog on his website here at richardgodwin.net. We can also find a full list of his works. A Pulse Rising is his first crime novel. He divides his time between London and the U.S. Tell us about your novel, A Pulse Rising.
Okay, A Pulse Rising is essentially about the resurrection of an old bad case. It's a case that almost destroyed a senior police officer's life and left his career in tatters. The protagonist is DCI Frank Castle. 28 years later, someone is replicating crime scenes from what were known as the Woodland Killings. These were the original killings that Detective Chief Inspector Frank Castle failed to solve. He led the biggest manhunt England has ever seen and came away with nothing, and as a result, the press mauled him. He almost lost his job. And now he's faced with a copycat killer, which is where the novel picks up the narrative action. And this killer has detailed inside knowledge of the original case. It feels very personal to Frank Castle. The psychopath who is committing these killings is leaving coded messages at the crime scene. He is also leaving no forensics, and his targets are politicians. He is literally targeting politicians and crucifying them.
Mm. In what ways is A Pulse Rising unusual?
Unusual? I'd say for 4 reasons. It's stylistically, it's a blend of crime and horror. Second reason, it has a unique twist, which you will not see coming. Third, you'll not guess who the killer is. And I think that the people that I've heard back from who've read it say that they were very shocked. Fourth, it has passages of what the reviewers are calling quite beautiful poetic prose, which is a slightly different take on a crime novel in that I've mixed the styles up a bit, which is what I like to do. If I explain a little bit more in detail about the background to that, I write crime and horror, and I think that those two genres can be mixed because some of the most horrific things that occur are crimes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm talking about real-life human acts that don't need monsters, don't need horns, because the monster is there in the psyche. So a lot of the passages of the novel deal with the darker recesses of pathology. There are passages written in italics. These are the killer's thoughts. One reviewer has called it the poetry of the killer's thoughts. And they let the reader inside the killer's head.
So now there's a character named Frank Castle. What is his background and obsessions with the case?
Okay, well, he failed to solve the Woodland Killings. The press turned on him, and the British press are pretty vicious when they want to be. And his job is on the line, he had to see a police psychologist, he hit the bottle, his wife left him. It was only through his popularity with his fellow officers that he was reinstated. He remained in office, obsessed by the idea that a man called Carl Black, who was his main suspect for the Woodland Killings, was behind them and had got away with it. Now his obsession returns, and it is not helped by the fact that Carl Black is at the top of the list of suspects. Frank Castle's an old-school cop. He is not politically correct, but he's determined to catch the killer. He's dogged, and he's obsessive, and his partner, D.I. Jackie Stone, is a tough, young, independent and intelligent female police officer, but she sees the case eating him up. And it begins also to have a profound psychological effect on her, to the point where her marriage falls apart. Crime scenes harrow her, and her training has not prepared her for what she's seeing there. The killer is leaving something at the crime scenes that is so unspeakable to her that she develops PTSD. And one of the things I was interested in when I wrote Apostle Rising was to look at the effect dealing with a psychopath, dealing with extreme evil, has on a cop. Frank Castle and Jackie Stone are changed by the case. It is as much about catching a killer as it is the effect of dealing with a psychopath and what that has on a cop. And in that sense, it's told from Frank Castle's perspective. And as the case deepens and the bodies pile up, he hits the bottle harder.
So how much of the book is dealing with psychology play in it?
Right. It does play a big role. Frank Castle can't get a reading on the killer. He calls in a guy called Tom Spinner, who's the top offender profiler, and he's brilliant, and he begins to analyze the killer's profile, but the killer keeps changing direction and profile. He kills one of Frank Castle's colleagues, so he kills a police officer. Thomas Miller finds he's challenged by this guy who is not responding to the taunts that he aims at him through the media. He also seems to defy some of his analyses. The passages are not complicated. They're easily accessible to the layman, but he does go very deep into what actually has created this person, what he's motivated by, taking us into the mind of the psychopath. And those sections of the novel have proved extremely popular with readers. And as he's working on the case, a second killer emerges. This other killer is leaving the mutilated bodies of prostitutes in Richmond Park, which is just outside London. And Tom Spinner now has to conduct a secondary profile of a different killer altogether, one who seems obsessed with Henry VIII and who seems in some ways to be helping the primary killer. The action takes place basically in London and outside it, in a swathe of Greenbelt land. This is, you know, easily accessible to a US audience, since although it's located in the UK, all the traditions of a crime novel are there. And I've structured the book so it's written in short sections, so you can dip in and out of the novel.
Okay, now Carl Black, you're saying, how big a part of in the novel is he playing?
Yeah, he's extremely important. Carl Black is a psychopath, simply. He's a psychopath who may or may not have been involved in the original killings, and he has a huge influence over the police investigation. He's also able to get into people's heads, and he gets into the heads of Frank Castle very easily. He taunts him. He also despises the police. He knows too much about their personal lives. He's running a cult called the Last Brotherhood, which holds some quite extreme medieval Christian beliefs. And when we meet him in the novel, he's actively recruiting followers. He runs it together with a man called Jonas Wilkes. And as the police start to question him, he plays with Castle and Stone. If you think of a large cat playing with a smaller animal, you get the picture. He casts a very, very dark shadow over the investigation and seems to be involved in some way.
All right. So I'm pressed for time, so we're going to push it a little bit. What kind of reader, what kind of would be interested in a person? Somebody who's interested
in writing crime, history, forensics, psychology, cults, because there is a cult at the center of the novel, and anyone interested in drama or playing a guessing game.
Mm-hmm. And what kind of reviews have you been getting?
Well, Apostle Rising has been receiving some extremely good early reviews within a month of its publication. We're waiting for the major newspapers, since they can take longer, but so far they've been reviews in crime magazines. It's been reviewed in Crime Time, Bookgasm, New Books, and the Open Press, among others. If I read you a couple of comments, it will give you an idea of how it's being received. BookGeeks magazine said, rare for a crime novel, it has a lyrical, almost poetic style, beautifully written and well-constructed. On the strength of his offering, Godwin is a welcome addition to the world of the full-length novel. And Seattle PI said, in Apostle Rising, Richard Godwin has written a brutal and suspenseful mystery. The suspense and mystery are superb. You never understand the emotional depravity until the end. It is an end you never see coming. Castle is a charismatic and likable character. His damaged psyche is a part of what draws you to his fragile and one-track mind. I would recommend this novel for those who love thrillers. The tension keeps the read going and leads you in an unexpected direction. Godwin has created a great whodunit. This big book stays with you long after the final page.
Okay, so give everybody all your information, you know, where the book is available and your website and everything. And Then I'm going to ask you one more question after that.
Okay. Well, Fossil Rising is available at bookstores and online at bookstores and Amazon. It can also be ordered direct from the U.S. distributor, Atlas Books. You can call them toll-free on 1-800-247-6553. That's 1-800-247-6553. Or you can just Google Black Jackal Books. That's Black Jackal Books. Or me, and that's http://richardgodwin.net. That's http://richardgodwin.net. And there's information on all those places for how to buy it.
And, of course, the introduction I got to you was through C.E. Lawrence.
Yes.
How do you guys know each other?
Well, we're on the International Thriller Writers organization, and we got together through them because I do interviews with authors, which are proving extremely popular, and I find fascinating because there's so much you can find out when you're interviewing someone.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm currently interviewing C.E. Lawrence at the moment, and I can tell you she's giving a great interview, so watch out for it at my site.
Well, make sure you email me a link to it.
I certainly will.
And because C.E. Lawrence has been a guest for her last two novels. She's come up to the radio station, and I've interviewed her, and, you know, she's absolutely wonderful. I love her books. Do stay in touch, Richard.
I will, Ahmed, and thank you so much for the interview.
Promise me, you will come back, and we can do this when I have a little bit more time to expand with you.
Excellent, and on behalf of British Telecom, apologies to New York.
Thank you very much. Richard Godwin, the writer of the new book, Apostle Writing. Thank you for stopping to Cafe Ali.